It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright.
Ain't gonna let nobody turn me around, turn me around, turn me around.
This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
So all the stuff you've been hearing about, you know, coverage of dependent children up to age 26, no pre-existing condition restrictions for children under 19, changing rescissions, offering preventive care without co-payments, no higher cost sharing for out-of-network emergency care, all that stuff is now part of the Virginia Code.
Jill Hankin, health law attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, describes how health care law is improving in Virginia despite Virginia's legal challenge to the Affordable Care Act. And because the Affordable Care Act still is being implemented, we explain access to free medical care in Richmond during this week's question and answer. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 134, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. 2 years ago, the Virginia General Assembly adopted Code of Virginia Section 32.1-137.01 to require Virginia hospitals to post and publish information about the charity care and discount programs available to their patients. The Virginia Poverty Law Center recently completed a survey of hospitals to check compliance with one aspect of this law: whether the hospital's websites include specific eligibility criteria and the procedures necessary to apply for indigent care assistance. The results of the survey are disappointing. Only 20 hospitals, less than 25% of the sample, fully complied with the website requirements, and other than the University of Virginia Medical Center, none were in the Richmond-Charlottesville area. 30 hospitals, or 37%, including VCU Health System, advertised charity care programs on their websites, but failed to provide any meaningful information about eligibility criteria. In addition to such information being posted on websites, the law also requires hospital charity care policies to be posted in public areas of the hospital, including admissions and registration areas and emergency departments, provided to a patient at the time of admission or discharge, and included with any billing statements sent to uninsured patients. In other news, in addition to state law, the Affordable Care Act now provides more ammunition in collection actions brought by nonprofit hospitals. The Act added several important new requirements for hospitals seeking to maintain charitable tax-exempt status. The Act specifically requires tax-exempt charitable hospitals to disclose and publicize charity care policies, including the criteria for eligibility, the method for applying, the basis for calculating amounts charged to patients, and the action to be taken in the event of non-payment. Tax-exempt charitable hospitals also must limit the amounts charged for emergency or medically necessary care to patients eligible for financial assistance to no more than the amount generally billed to individuals with insurance, and may not use gross charges. Lastly, under the Affordable Care Act, tax-exempt charitable hospitals must refrain from engaging in extraordinary billing and collection actions until after reasonable efforts have been made to determine whether a patient is eligible for financial assistance. For more information, go to www.healthlaw.org. With this week's news you can use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's case that changed the Commonwealth is Moorhead v. State Farm Fire and Casualty Company. In 1998, State Farm denied fire insurance coverage to Jerry Moorhead, alleging the fire which destroyed his family's home was intentionally set. The Moorheads sued and argued that the denial of their claim was a bad faith breach of the insurance contract, which entitled them to recover damages for emotional harm and litigation expenses, including expert witness fees. State Farm moved to dismiss on any claim for damage above and beyond the amount of the fire loss insured by the policy. However, the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Virginia denied State Farm's motion because even though damages for emotional disturbance are not usually allowed in contract cases, they are allowed where the breach of contract is of such kind that serious emotional disturbance is a particularly likely result. This has been the law ever since. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault. And Moorhead versus State Farm Fire and Casualty Company is this week's case that changed the Commonwealth.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for this week's question and answer session. We are here in the studio with this week's questioner. Please tell us your name and where you're from.
My name is Reverend Rosa, and I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Welcome to the show, Reverend. What question do you have for us?
My question pertains to health laws. With the economy being the way it is today, a large number of families are out of job. They've lost their health insurance. I would like to know what type of health care is available to the unemployed.
That's a big and good question. And we don't have a comprehensive system in this country, as we all know. There's Medicare, which is available to people who are receiving Social Security benefits based on age, blindness, or disability. There's Medicaid, which is available to people getting SSI based on age, blindness, or disability, or in certain cases, people receiving temporary assistance for needy families or children. And also for children, there is the FAMIS program, Family Access to Medical Income Security. But for the just plain unemployed adults, if they had medical insurance through their former employer, they should be able to get COBRA coverage under the Comprehensive Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act, which is what COBRA stands for. The problem is that the COBRA coverage has to be paid for by the unemployed person. It's no longer paid for by the former employer. And in case of a company like Circuit City, where the company is going out of business and there is no group health insurance available, there is no COBRA coverage. Even if there is COBRA coverage, you have to pay for it. And how do you do that when you've just lost your job? It's very difficult. Now, in the greater Richmond area, there were 57,000 low-income residents who were uninsured. Now, some were working poor and some were unemployed, but all of these were people who didn't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid or whose employers didn't provide health insurance. Now, fortunately, the Richmond Academy of Medicine started a program called Richmond Access Now. And to qualify, you have to have lived in the Richmond area at least 3 months, have no health insurance, not qualify for any type of government medical assistance program, and have family income less than 200% of the federal poverty level, which is about $21,000 for a single person and about $42,000 for a family of four. Now, to access this, you have to go to an entry point. You have to go to a free clinic. There are about 11 in the Richmond area, or to the public health department, or any federally qualified health center, like, for example, the VA McGuire Center can screen you. If you're found eligible, you get something called an Access Now card, and that allows you to get a referral to more than 400 local physicians, as well as the three area hospital systems. That would be Bon Secours, HCA, and also VCU. And the Access Now card is accepted pretty much just like a health insurance card. For people who want more information about this, you can go to the website, which is accessnow.ramdocs.org, or you can call 643-6631. Is this a program that you were aware of before you came on the show?
I was not aware of this program, and the information provided is very helpful, and I hope that anyone who hears this will just pass the message along that there is some type of help available for those who are unable to pay for medical insurance. Thank you so very much.
I hope so, too. And again, just to repeat that information, the website is accessnow.ramdocs.org, or you can call 643-6631. Last month, Jill Hankin, health law attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, spoke to legal aid attorneys around the state about how health care law is improving in Virginia despite Virginia's legal challenge to the Affordable Care Act, and the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there. Here's the beginning of Jill's talk.
I wanted to start with talking a little bit about the national health reform legislation that was passed over a year ago. Last year at this time, we talked about the parameters of health reform and all the good stuff it was going to do. Let me bring you up to date on what's been happening in Virginia since last year in terms of health reform implementation. I mean, the biggest news is that Governor McDonald did appoint a health reform advisory committee to look at how to improve health care in Virginia, not necessarily how to implement the Affordable Care Act, but what do we need to do in Virginia to improve access to health care for both insured and uninsured people. And he named Secretary Bill Hazel, who's our Secretary of Health and Human Resources, to head this advisory committee. And I am a huge fan of Dr. Hazel. I was just chatting about him in the back of the room. Dr. Hazel has found a way to very skillfully balance his work through the political minefield of what is health reform. And he is committed to the idea that with or without national health reform legislation, there's a lot that has to be done in Virginia to improve access to health care for all of Virginians. So there's been, since last summer, a series of meetings, task forces, studies, all about health reform in Virginia, and a very good comprehensive report was issued last December with 28 recommendations that really sort of lay the landscape for what we need to do in Virginia. And I give you the site there, the link to the report if you're interested in looking at it, because this task force looked at Medicaid reform, workforce issues, insurance issues, technology, and the needs of purchasers. And it's really comprehensive, and I urge you to take a look at it. It sort of sets the framework for where we're going to go from here. And there's more to be done. In the General Assembly session in this winter, there were several pieces of legislation related to the implementation of health reform in Virginia. The first one is the bill that did codify in the Virginia Code all of the private insurance reforms that are part of the Affordable Care Act. So all the stuff you've been hearing about, you know, coverage of dependent children up to age 26, no pre-existing condition restrictions for children under 19, changing rescissions, offering preventive care without co-payments, no higher cost sharing for out-of-network emergency care. All that stuff is now part of the Virginia Code. Federal law trumps state law, but the Bureau of Insurance needed authorization to enforce. So by putting all this stuff in the Virginia Code, it gives the Bureau of Insurance the authority to actually make this real in Virginia. There are details about which plans these new provisions apply to, whether or not the plan is actually a new plan or a grandfathered plan. That's where you'll find your details there. Another piece of state legislation that was adopted this year, again, to implement federal reform and give the Bureau the ability to enforce the law, relates to external and internal appeals. So this is for people with private insurance. If a particular service is denied, there are rights to appeal both within the private insurance company and external review as well, and that's handled by the Bureau of Insurance.
You're listening to a talk given in June 2011 by health law attorney Jill Hankin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center to legal aid attorneys around the state about how health care law is improving in Virginia, despite Virginia's legal challenge to the Affordable Care Act. We'll be back in a moment. If you're just joining us, the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show now rejoins Jill Hankin, health law attorney at the Virginia Poverty Law Center, about how health care law is improving in Virginia, despite Virginia's legal challenge to the Affordable Care Act.
Another piece of Virginia legislation was to direct the state to move forward and Secretary Hazel to move forward in developing a Virginia health benefit exchange. And the benefit exchange is going to be the vehicle in January 2014, which is the electronic marketplace where people can go to shop for insurance, which will include the new federal subsidies for insurance for people who are eligible for federal subsidies. And those are people who are not eligible for Medicaid, so they will have income above 133% of poverty, but under 400% of poverty. So Virginia has decided to develop its own health insurance exchange. This legislation gives Secretary Hazel direction to move forward on that. And there was a governor's amendment limiting the scope of health benefit exchange plans to not cover abortion services. But beyond that problem, we're working right now with this Health Reform Advisory Committee to develop the structure and policies for Virginia's health benefit exchange. The report will come out in October, and there will be legislation next session. One of the big things that consumers are concerned about are who's going to be allowed to serve on the governing board of this health benefit exchange. Our inclination, surprise, surprise, is that we don't want anybody who has a direct financial conflict of interest serving on the board as they develop this exchange. But also, surprise, surprise, insurance companies want a seat on the governing board. So that's been one of the biggest battles in a lot of states. We're probably going to have a battle here. We're trying to maybe get the Health Reform Advisory Committee to take a position that would keep people with direct financial conflicts of interest off of the governing board, but we shall see. Some other Affordable Care Act information. I sent out an email to our legal aid listserv reminding people about this new pre-existing condition insurance plan. This is insurance that's being provided through the federal government for Virginia residents who've been uninsured for 6 months, who have a pre-existing condition, who can't get private health insurance as a result of this. Beginning in July, the cost of these policies is going way down. For kids, for example, it's just $100 a month. This may not be helpful to our clients who really don't have any money to spend on health insurance, who can't get Medicaid because of our low Medicaid eligibility levels, but it may be useful to your friends and your family and some of your clients who are still waiting to get Medicare, who have some disposable income. So please check it out. It's a bridge from now until 2014 when the subsidized plans will become available. It's a way to get insurance now. To me, the cool thing about this is that Well, you get insurance that's going to cover pre-existing conditions. That's pretty neat. But you can get preventive health care services right off the bat without any kind of deductible. So you could get right in there and go to a doctor and get scripts for chronic conditions and start getting services. And if what you've been waiting for is heart surgery and you've got some disposable income so you can meet the deductible and whatever, you're going to be able to get the coverage. People with chronic conditions who currently get services through free clinics or community health centers, the question is if they're going to have enough income to pay the premiums, meet the deductible, et cetera, because there are out-of-pocket costs. It's a pretty neat benefit. Right now, only about 200-odd people in Virginia have taken advantage of this over the last year. So that's why the premiums dropped. They're trying to beef this up. And so please spread the word. Just some more federal rulemaking that's underway. Medical loss ratio and rate review, that's going to be important for all of us. I mean, the Affordable Care Act will require large group plans to spend 85% of premium costs on actual medical care. That's huge. Right now, a lot of companies spend like 60% of premiums on medical care. These are things that are happening now and that are going to make a difference for all of us down the road as well.
You've been listening to health law attorney Jill Hankin at the Virginia Poverty Law Center speaking to legal aid attorneys around the state about how health care law is improving in Virginia despite Virginia's legal challenge to the Affordable Care Act. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's Strange But True Law is from Title 21, which deals with drainage, sewer conservation, sanitation, and public facility districts. Under Code Virginia 21-428, through 21-432, any person who wants to drain his lands through the lands of another may apply to the circuit court to appoint commissioners to investigate and report on whether that should be allowed. If the court thinks it's proper, it appoints five commissioners to go on the land, investigate, and report on what damages, if any, would be sustained by the party or parties through whose lands the drain is to be run. The commissioners also must inquire and report on whether the method of draining is proper and describe it. If the drain is allowed, the applicant, before proceeding, must pay for the damages, if any, determined by the commissioners, and must pay each of the commissioners the sum of $2 per day for each day investigating and reporting. This fee has been unchanged since the law was enacted in 1919. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King, and that's this week's Strange But True Law.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free, pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 334-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is now available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TANF, falls far short of what an adequate safety net program should be, with benefits far below poverty and only a minority of eligible families actually receiving benefits. Join us next week when Public Benefits Attorney LaTanya Reed discusses TANF and the reauthorization, which is due by September 30, 2011. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.